Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Carries a briefcase.
10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It's it has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster. That's not even a word.
Yeah, he beat like he stole something, Mr. Bosley.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. Deshaun Watson, pase, touchdown, Clemson, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast, really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle, I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
And welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar on a beautiful Tuesday, October 17, 2017. It's Out of Bounds. Live from the Priority One Security Studios, where security is their first priority. William Quagamus, Kelly Gramlich here. This is a perfect day. It was 60 degrees when I rolled to the station a little bit ago. Unbelievable. Not a cloud in the sky right now. Get some of that.
Winter is coming.
Don't say that. That's ominous.
Oh.
I just enjoy fall.
Quack, I'm trying. I'm there.
Winter's
I'm getting there.
Coming. Legitimately, you dust off a sweater. It's like, what? How would you describe the sweater you're wearing today? Like, what is that?
What? Give me your
what
thoughts. I feel like you have thoughts.
You know, it is the female version of a Mr. Rogers sweater.
No, you it always is. Call my sweaters like Mr. Rogers, and that is
it's
offensive.
It's a beautiful day in the
that
neighborhurts.
Hurts.
It's
that hurts.
It is.
This is a cute sweater.
See.
What do you
Bill
want from
Cosby.
Me? It's not Bill Cosby. Good
it
grief.
Is kind of Bill Cosby. I'm going to need somebody familiar with the Bill Cosby collection to
this
come and analyze that.
This is a very fall.
It's
there's
very
a lot
fall.
Of colors. This, it has fall color. It has some orange and purple in there.
It's very hokey.
It kind of, like, this
I mean,
could be a
is.
Virginia Tech sweater.
It is. Like, you would wear that if you were doing, like, if you were calling
Virginia
a game
Tech,
for Virginia
show?
Tech. Then you would wear that.
The hokey pregame
time.
Show? The hokey pokey pregame show?
Yeah, probably every time.
See,
hokey pokey pregame show? I hope that's not the name of their pregame stuff. I really hope that's not.
I actually hope it is, to be honest. I love how the tables have turned here, because normally I'm the one ragging on your wardrobe choices.
That's true.
And
I'm not even ragging.
Now,
I think it looks nice. I mean, I think it looked fine.
From your lofty nice. Perch, you're basically saying that I'm wearing a Bill Cosby sweater.
I'm wearing a wrinkly t-shirt today. That has WCCP on it.
I really don't
frankly.
Want to be associated with Bill.
I know. I feel bad about that now.
Which is tough, because 5 or 6 years ago, I would have thought, wow, what an honor to be compared to the great Bill. And now, it's just tough.
And it's kind of sad. Like, you want to just separate the personal life from the, you know, like the entertainment career.
Here's the thing. If a Cosby show rerun is on, do you want me to not watch it? I mean, I'm going to have to. It's a great show. I love the Cosby show.
Speaking of disgraced Hollywood types.
Sure.
Did you see the Al Michaels in hot water for the Giants had a worse week than Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, that's bad.
All right.
It wasn't
of all,
a good week for announcers. There was some announcer errors.
Can we not make a joke about that without separating the like SNL can't make like SNL did a whole thing about it and no one was talking to SNL like. I can't believe SNL brought up Harvey Weinstein. They did like 4 jokes about Harvey Weinstein. Well, and so Al Michaels can't do it because sports are so serious now. We can't make a joke about if SNL can parody the thing and make jokes about it that make people go, ooh, then why can't Al Michaels say something? I was concerned with that he had to apologize on the same network where just the night before SNL did like 4 jokes on Harvey Weinstein.
It's both NBC. That's a good point. I mean,
they made an emoji joke about Harvey Weinstein to start Weekend Update.
It's the time and place, I guess. SNL, you know what you're getting.
I guess
SNL can literally say or do whatever they want.
Well, sports, you're getting very serious commentary on social issues now.
And
I mean, and the most tact, right?
Of course.
And that's why announcers are in there, is to,
which is what, you know, we
give
bring
measured commentary on social issues.
We bring that daily.
We do. I want to do that. I was like, why did you have to apologize for that? Was it in poor taste? I don't know. Maybe.
I think you should apologize for your Native American comment yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
I think
it.
You should.
I'm not doing it. I said it was offensive. If it was offensive, I said it. I owned it. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not doing it.
I just love that right after it came out of your mouth, you said, and that's offensive.
That's offensive.
Moving on.
I mean, just as offensive as Brad coming in here with the Redskins logo on his shirt. I mean, it's the same.
Do you want to talk about your Colts or nah?
No.
I thought Jacoby Brissett played well.
He played fine, and then they let Kobe Fleener walk in free agency. Then they traded Dwayne Allen. And you're stuck with Jack Doyle, who is, I think he wrote the Sherlock Holmes. Jack Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Jack Doyle, who is like the whitest name in the NFL, who can't catch or hold on to the ball, fumbled in the third quarter the one time they got a first down in the third quarter. I mean, if not for a pick six, they would have been bludgeoned to death out of the building. And then they gave up an embarrassing 70-yard touchdown run, like on the time of the game where Derrick Henry legitimately stopped and thought about what he was doing in the middle of the run and was like, I could go out of bounds, but I won't. And they still didn't tackle him.
Can I ask you this? I turned it off about after halftime because it was just boring. But
it was actually quick. It was a quick game,
which
kept me entertained. And we were winning.
It's going to take a lot for me to watch the full grasp of Titans and Colts.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Mariota was limited, right? You knew the game plan was for him to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Was the Tennessee offensive line that great, or why didn't the Colts blitz him more? What were they? That confused me a little bit.
Well, their array of players on defense ranges from bad to terrible,
okay.
So that's why.
They didn't really have the personnel, but
that's why.
You knew Mariota was limited. You knew he was just kind of going to sit back there and pass it. He wasn't going to scramble. They didn't want him to scramble. Why don't you? I mean, that's kind of what I would have done if I was Syracuse, and what Syracuse did to a certain extent to Kelly Bryant, because you knew Kelly Bryant didn't want to scramble because of limited injury stuff.
They did hit him a good bit. Tennessee also max protected some with six blockers from time to time. And then if you notice, the Colts coverage is terrible. Like even John Gruden said they were terrible. And if John Gruden says you're terrible at something, he's really terrible about something. Man, this guy, man, he's missed 40 tackles, but look how he attacks the ball. Like that's John Gruden. That's John Gruden. This guy's missed 50 straight tackles, but doggone it, the guy plays like his hair's on fire. John Gruden. Last night, the blown coverage late, it was really the first time that the Colts were like super exposed, and then the floodgates opened up.
Also, I guess when you have a defensive end, Derrick Henry, playing running back, it's a nice little extra blocker for Mariota.
I love the John Gruden. You know, back when I was coaching, our change of pace backs were a smaller, faster guy, a little quicker guy. Their change of pace back is a tank.
Derrick Henry still looks massive in the NFL. He still looks massive. That guy was, I mean, I think as a Clemson fan, he didn't do too much against Clemson in the national title. He wasn't exactly the X factor. But just seeing him, I mean, gosh, that guy's a behemoth. When he stood next to Mark Ingram, remember that picture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, it was like Father Sunday.
Yikes. Henry's a baller. When the Titans went on 8.5-minute drive in the fourth quarter and punched it in, I knew it was over. Even though we had plenty of time to come back down the field and blah, 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 whatever. I mean, T.Y. Hilton was a no-show. He did his best Deion Kane impression. No catches when it mattered.
Whoa.
I'd already thrown the ball.
Whoa.
And then I'm going to lay off Deion Kane at some point.
Maybe
I'm just a little bit. I'm just a little bitter right now. T.Y. Hilton was way worse than Deion Kane. Way worse. One catch for like 12 yards or something. I mean, the guy did zero. Dante Moncrief dropping touchdowns. Jack Doyle dropping every pass and fumbling the ball like an idiot. And then they ran a ridiculous play. They ran a bootleg on 4th and 1, like right down toward the end zone. And it took 15 years to develop. Like, I'm pretty sure Rip Van Winkle took 2 naps in the time it took the play to develop. And then, of course, Brissett gets run down from behind by Wesley Woodyard, who's the highlights that they showed were him against Clemson, back in the Music City Bowl. Like, that's how old it was. Like, how they were showing him from college back before the game started. And I was like, hey, that's, I don't even know, what was it? I don't know, Kyle Piper. Who was it? I don't even know who the quarterback was. It wasn't Parker. Anyway, he was in college at Kentucky. 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627. If your NFL team stinks, we can have a connection.
Yeah, mine's not great. Stinks. I mean, mine's not an embarrassment, but mine's not great.
I mean, when you score a defensive touchdown and go 19-9 the first minute of the third quarter, and then your offense is basically just a complete disaster. The only other time the Colts scored a kick return from their terrible return game set them up at like the 40, and then Adam Vinatieri broke out his walker out there. They have to extend a play clock for
that
him
guy's
to limp
unbelievable.
Off the bench at 44 years old to bang home a 52-yarder. And they couldn't even get a first down then.
He's immortal.
What a disaster. Colin Harper was probably a quarterback then.
Today, though, we have obviously basketball media day tomorrow, which we're really pumped about.
Yeah, interviews front to back all over the place.
Anybody that you would possibly dream of wanting to hear about basketball, all the coaches, both staffs, and 9 to noon tomorrow. So we'll be on with Brad. We're doing a, what do we call that? Out of the box? Press
out
box?
Out of bounds?
Uh-huh. Out of the box?
Out of the box.
We're going to do that, and then we're going to play some golf.
We are. I don't know the, I've not seen the order.
Quack, I don't think the order's been released. If it stays this way with the weather in the mountains, it's going to be parka time. I mean, it is cold.
You went straight. I mean, when you went sweater, I mean, I walked in. Again, I'm wearing a t-shirt today, but I'm also wearing jeans.
I also get here in the morning.
You do. Sir. And it's cold. It's cold in the morning. And I definitely was not wearing a t-shirt. Well, actually, I was, but I was freezing. I just didn't want to put anything on when I was at my house doing a little show prep. And, but I come in here and you're like, the thing's 65 degrees and it's like you're in an ice box. I felt bad for you when I came in here today.
Yeah. I didn't really know. When you got here, I said, can you work the thermostat? Because I tried. I didn't try too hard, but I tried.
Look, when you're a homeowner, you learn things.
That's right, you're a homeowner.
You learn things about doing stuff.
You're an adult.
You learn things about doing stuff.
So the parka might be out. Well, if we get our teams, we might let you guys know. But as I have been clear and transparent on the show, I do tell Tim to split us up.
Did you tell him this time? Because I definitely told him late. I was like, in case you didn't know, we're playing golf.
Oh, well, I already told him. Don't worry.
I figured you did.
Tim and I talk on a pretty regular basis. Okay. I mean, we're really good friends.
Okay.
Obviously, Tim Bray we're speaking of.
Obviously.
But, you know, and it's nothing personal. It's just you want to get out, network, schmooze a bit. Just letting you know.
Right. Understand.
Okay, good.
In today's show, we're going to go back over the You Pick 'Em contest with all the games, most of which I got correct this past weekend, where I'm now tied for first with half the league. That's pretty fun. Like, we're the halfway point of the season, and like half of us are tied for first.
Don't let it go to your head.
It's too late.
I think it's a little late.
It's too late. I'm in first place. And thank God that I am. Because if not, this entire weekend is a disaster, and the whole season is complete nonsense. I picked two NFL games right this weekend. Two. That's impossible.
Is it fair to say that every single one of our teams that one of the members of this show supports lost this weekend?
Yes.
The Cowboys didn't play, so, you know, that's a positive.
And everyone lost until the Colts last night, which is basically a touchdown game. It was one possession. Indiana loses in overtime. Clemson loses by 3. Oklahoma loses by 6. Or, I'm sorry, Texas loses by 6.
Yes. Texas was driving with a chance to take the lead.
See? Cowboys had a bye, right? They didn't play.
Praise.
Had a bye.
You know, someone didn't lose of our teams.
I'm glad I have some direction for fantasy football about who's playing for the Cowboys, because every single one of my fantasy leagues is like, pick up and insert the name of a different Cowboys running back. Pick up Darren McFadden. Pick up whoever. Pick up whoever. Pick up this. Pick up. How many running backs can they possibly have? Can I get some direction about who's getting the carries for Zeke when the court tells him he's got to serve that suspension?
I don't want to talk about it.
That's all I'm saying.
I do want to remind you guys real quick before we head to our first break. We are selling our Tigers for Tatas bands. We're still going strong. We're about halfway through October, a little over halfway. And we've had a lot of sales, but we want to keep pushing it. And we do have, I can't tell you the name of the sponsor, but one of our big clients has decided to match every single cent that we raise.
Whoa, okay.
So basically, if you buy a band for $5, you're donating $10 because this client of ours is going to match. So it's worth even more now. We're really pumped about it. We have tons of events this week and next week. Kwok and I will be at Bennett Equipment on Thursday from 12 to 3 selling those bands. So come see us there. Walt just announced Walt will be at Smoking Pig on this Thursday. So go grab some dinner, buy some bands, hang out with Walt. This Friday, every single show, Mickey and Zach, Brad and Ben, Kwok and myself, and Walt will all be at Toyota of Easley from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m., which is crazy, selling bands, hanging out at the Toyota of Easley. Come check out some Toyotas, buy some bands. That's going to be a great day. And then next week, we've got Walt at Twin Peaks, Walt at Elkmont Thursday, Friday, and then the Tiger pregame show for Georgia Tech selling those bands. So we'll keep you posted on social media with all that stuff. This week specifically, Kwok and I are at Bennett Equipment on Thursday, Walt's at Smoking Pig on Thursday, and then every single show at Toyota of Easley on Friday.
Going to be busy.
Busy, busy. This is our last show. This is our last show in the studio for the week.
Right.
Let's make it a good one.
Let's make it a good one. And we're going to clean up the mess that is a football weekend after this. And speaking of cleaning up, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res, where you can clean your carpets with that empowered water so there's no residue left behind. Your clean home will impress your friends and family for sure. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. No odors, no toxic chemicals left behind. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Call 558-7300. That's 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. 654 Roar on the North End Communication phone lines. If you'd like to get in today, 654-7627. The number you want to get in on anything happening in the football weekend, 9861566. The Health There text line is open as well. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you. You can also hit up Twitter at Kwok Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. Short break. We'll come back from Wide of Bounds in just a moment.
Did you ever think you could get a compact tractor for $99 a month? You can. Get a John Deere 123E with quick attach features and our 6-year powertrain warranty. Starting at just $99 a month. Call Greenville Turf and Tractor in Malden today. Disclaimer. Offer ends October 27th, 2017. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial for commercial use only. 20% down payment required. Taxes, freight, setup, and delivery charges could increase monthly payment. Warranty limitations may apply. Consumer offers available. Price and model availability vary by dealer.
Steve's Tire and Service in Easley and Yokohama are excited to announce the Autumn Escape Rebate. Purchase a set of four Yokohama Geolander HT, Geolander AT, or the popular Geolander MT and receive up to a $70 rebate. This great deal runs October 1st through October 31st. Whether you're going hunting or traveling or to see the Tigers or Gamecocks play, Yokohama and Steve's Tire has the right set of tires for you. Call 859-1361, that's 859-1361, and save on those Yokohama Geolanders today.
Ralph Hayes Toyota has been a proud supporter of the Clemson Tigers for many years. Being South Carolina's oldest family-owned and operated Toyota dealership, first and 10 at Ralph Hayes Toyota means having our best sales and service team ready to go. Right now, come test drive the all-new 2018 Toyota Camry with more performance, safety features, and style than ever before. You can even take it home for a lifestyle test drive because we want you to be sure that you're happy with your purchase. Every new and pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUV comes with the Ralph Hayes Family Promise because we put your needs first. We even offer a 3-day, 200-mile money-back guarantee to give you some peace of mind. You'll always find competitive prices, great value, and superior customer satisfaction at Ralph Hayes Toyota. Because when you buy from us, you're part of the family. Ralph Hayes and the Clemson Tigers, a winning combination. Shop 24/7 at RalphHayesToyota.com. Go Clemson!
We wrote the book on price. Ralph Hayes Toyota.
Clemson fans know what it's like to be a champion. Tim's Harley-Davidson wants you to ride like one, too. You know you've earned it. Climb on an American legend. Twist the throttle. And ride off into freedom. It's the coolest feeling on earth. Tim's will help you find the perfect bike to upgrade your lifestyle. Hey, the Tigers earned their championship. Aren't you about due for one, too? Come take a test ride at Tim's Harley-Davidson. Clemson Boulevard in Anderson.
This tailgate season, Herb and Carol Tyler are proud to offer you the reheatable trays from Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. These delicious chicken nugget and chicken strip trays provide an easy solution to feed your game day crowd. So heat it up when you need it and pick up your tailgate order the day before the game. Relax and enjoy the reheatable trays from Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Go online at ilovechickfilet.com or in Clemson, call 654-4655 and in Seneca, 886-9080.
As a pizza lover, you've learned that Joe's New York Pizza is the boss of the sauce. At Clemson location, take advantage of half-price dine-in on all large pizzas from 4 until 8. Every Monday, draft beer and all appetizers are half-priced from 4 till 7 in the bar. That's right, half-price apps and half-price drafts each Monday from 4 till 7 at the bar at Joe's New York Pizza in Clemson. Half-price on all large pizzas, 4 until 8. Joe's New York Pizza in Clemson, the boss of the sauce.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Takeuchi equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair. In many cases, right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
When I first heard about the health dare, I was skeptical.
I was skeptical.
I was definitely skeptical.
My doctor said I needed to lose weight, but I wasn't sure if this was for me.
I'd already tried everything.
Other programs just weren't sustainable.
Then I heard on the radio how the health dare was helping all these people reverse their diabetes.
How the health dare was getting people off their blood pressure medicine.
How much weight people were losing on the health dare.
So with a money-back guarantee, I tried it.
I decided to take the health dare.
I took the health dare 90-day challenge.
That was months ago. In 8 weeks, I lost 48 pounds and 22 inches.
I couldn't believe it, but I lost 41 pounds of fat and 45 inches in just 5 weeks.
With the health dare, I lost over 200 pounds. But more importantly, I'm off my cholesterol and blood pressure meds, and my CPAP machine is in the closet.
It's because I took the health dare.
The health dare.
The health dare. And I dare you.
Book today at thehealthdare.com. That's thehealthdare.com.
Book your free consultation with a health coach at idaregreenville.com.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hey, if you have a South Carolina driver's license, you are going to be out of luck in like 3 months because you basically can't do anything except drive, right? I mean, the real ID driver's license, you to fly on a plane, you can't, use, right?
Well, we don't want to scare people. You can still drive. You can still get federal benefits and all that stuff. But it's mainly travel. It's travel that is the key. And international travel specifically, you're going to need that new real ID.
Exactly.
From the DMV.
So here's what you do. You've got two options. You're either in or you need to be in. You can't be out or else you're going to be screwed. You're going to be basically left at the airport or whatever you're trying to do. So anyway, all the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a real ID license online next year. They're available in 2018. Go ahead and get the process started now. You need your license number, your social security number, and date of birth. If you put those in at scdmvonline.com, search Real ID, and begin that transaction, then you'll find out if you have the required documents on file. As long as that's true, you're in good standing in terms of your driving privileges, you have a regular license, you're good to go. If not, then you got to go to your local SCDMV branch with a proof of ID, proof of social security, two proofs of current address, and proof of all legal name changes, and then they can start the process for you. For more information, follow the SCDMV on Twitter and Facebook. Learn more at scdmvonline.com or email your questions to realid@scdmv.net.
Today,
I'm all about scaring people, by the way.
You are.
I'm all about scaring people into doing what you need them to do.
I was kind of worried about that.
Yeah.
You're the voice booming from the radio.
Yep.
You will not be able to do anything without your real ID. That's
right.
Not true. Don't scare people. Come on.
We should probably threaten students
scare
saying
tactics.
That they're going to take their seat away if they don't show up for home games.
I don't want, let's let this that situation ride for a little bit.
How
right?
many things can we threaten? How many things can we threaten?
There's no game this week that the students will miss. So
right. Maybe fall break. Maybe they thought about what they've done during fall break. I don't know. Go
it's
ahead.
Possible.
Yes. You have some news about what now?
Some preseason All-American, or no, mid-season All-Americans. What time of year is it? We're going to give kind of a pulse of the college football season so far today. We're going to kind of, you know, take notice of what's happened, give some initial thoughts, where we are, what surprised us. I mean, for crying out loud, Florida State and Louisville are playing this weekend, and neither team is ranked. Who in the world predicted that? So there's been a lot of things that have just been crazy, and we're going to give our initial thoughts on that. But we're going to start, before we get to the phones, the Northland Communication phone lines. Sporting News has their midseason All-Americans. I'm going to run through these quickly. If there's anything that surprises you, Kwok, let me know.
Okay.
Three ACC members on the offense, four on the defense, and you have three Clemson Tigers on these teams. I'll let you know who. Offensively, Baker Mayfield is their quarterback, midseason All-American. I mean, his numbers are incredible. Absolutely. I hate to say that because I am just not a Baker Mayfield fan, but he's thrown 17 touchdowns and one pick. 73% completion. That's just unbelievable. I think barring two more losses for OU, that guy will be in New York for the Heisman ceremony.
I would think.
It's almost impossible not to have him there. Another guy that will be there is Saquon Barkley, who's one of their midseason All-Americans at running back, 649 rushing yards so far, six touchdowns. He's been really good. And Bryce Love, the running back from Stanford. Those are the two running backs. Any qualms there?
No. Love's the best running back in the country, by the way. He's had a 50-yard run or more in nine straight games.
Wow.
He's the best runner. Saquon Barkley's got six touchdowns so far against a schedule that's pretty doo-doo.
Well, and again, I think the East Coast, West Coast bias is going to play into that. I really do with Barkley and Love. We saw it happen with McCaffrey.
And when Penn State starts playing real teams, Barkley, when people start actually watching their game, like this week, people are going to make believe that Michigan's any good. And so when Penn State wins like 16-13, they're going to act like that's a huge win and give Barkley a lot of credit for it.
At least Stanford's played a ranked team.
Correct.
Penn State has not
yet. Penn State, their best win is at Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the buzzer.
For sure.
Okay.
The two wide receivers on this list, James Washington, Oklahoma State, and Cam Phillips, Virginia Tech.
That's fair.
I'm good with those.
I'm good with those.
Jalen Samuels is in at tight end. Then you have on the...
Okay.
No?
Okay. That's fine.
I think he deserves to be on there.
That's probably okay.
From NC State. Your O-line, midseason All-Americans, Bradley Bozeman, Alabama, Quentin Nelson, Notre Dame, Cody O'Connell, Washington State, Orlando Brown, Oklahoma, and Mitch Hyatt, Clemson.
I don't put a lot of stock in those. Like, who knows? The five best linemen in the country?
I mean, those are all just offensive line schools, I would say.
Yeah, they're probably the guys that you would have had on your preseason list before the year that haven't, that aren't out for the season with injury.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, I'm good with it, I guess.
And then the athlete on offense, midseason All-American, is Dante Pettis from Washington.
Baller.
Yeah.
Absolute baller.
Really good, really dangerous punt returner. Defense, real quickly, you have Bradley Chubb, Austin Bryant, and Dexter Lawrence are both on this list.
Okay.
Midseason All-Americans.
Not
Nick
feral.
Bosa, Ohio State. Josie Jewell, Iowa. Raquan Smith, Georgia linebacker. Devin Bush, Michigan linebacker.
I like those.
Minka Fitzpatrick, Alabama DB. Ronnie Harrison, Alabama DB. Deshaun Elliott, Texas DB, who has, how many picks has he had?
He's got a million
five
picks.
Interceptions.
Yeah, he's got two for touchdowns, hasn't he?
Five.
They have two touchdowns?
Yeah.
Maybe a fumble return and an interception return.
Jeez.
Two or three, one of those.
And then Derwin James is on here. Special teams, Matt Gay, Utah kicker, Johnny Townsend, Florida punter, and then Darius, he just disappeared on my list. Darius Phillips from Michigan is your returner.
Okay.
So those are midseason All-Americans.
Phillips, but.
Three Clemson guys, though. Austin Bryant, Dexter Lawrence, Mitch Hyatt.
Okay.
All in the trenches.
That's interesting. I mean, obviously, recency bias is a thing, and we talk about on the show. But I mean, that Clemson defensive line, I mean, I didn't see Austin Bryant or Dexter Lawrence against Syracuse, really.
That's one game.
It was one game. I like I said, recency bias. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. Chris and Anderson's up with us first in this segment. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Falk? How you guys?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Appreciate you getting me in. Just want to get your thoughts real quick on Georgia as far as the rest of their schedule this season. Also, the chances of them going to Atlanta and the playoffs, and I'll take comments off there. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Chris. We appreciate the phone call today. I think Georgia going forward has got some difficult games. I've said it. I mean, I wish someone would tweet me the link that says Georgia's strength of record is first in the country. I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't seen a screenshot. I haven't seen a link to the page. I wish a Georgia fan would send that to me.
I hate to say this. Do you know what their strength of record is according to FBI?
Yeah, it's number one.
It's number one, yeah.
Because I've seen it 42 times since the end of the show yesterday. Every Georgia fan in the upstate.
How is their strength of record number one?
Because they're undefeated. Because nobody else is undefeated. That's why.
I mean, Alabama's undefeated. Penn State's undefeated. TCU's undefeated.
How about this?
Miami's undefeated. I know Miami hasn't played anybody. Alabama hasn't played anybody.
This is the thing where we, and I'm gonna make a broader point here. This is the thing where we either trust polls blindly or we don't trust any poll that anyone does at all, and we say they're all fake, right? Either we trust analytics blindly, we don't think about what they mean, and we don't actually use our brains, or we say that the polls lie and that everyone's biased and they don't matter. You got to use your brain and figure out how to process some of this information. I would just ask anybody, Georgia fan, do you think you've played a tough schedule so far? Do you think you've played a murderer's row? Because don't send me the screenshot of a page that has Georgia's strength of record as number one as if that's supposed to replace that you yourself aren't secure enough to tell me yourself with your own brain and your own analytics and your own mind because you know what football is that Georgia's played a tough schedule. What is Georgia's second best win so far?
Mississippi State.
At home?
Yeah.
The same Mississippi State that, yeah, they beat LSU by 30, but LSU also, in that series of games, lost to Troy. And what is Georgia's second best? It's a home win over Mississippi State. I just feel like that, like the fact that people are telling me that is replacing what you know to be true. You know that Georgia's schedule is terrible. You know it is. You absolutely know it is. But you're sending me this because you're just basically putting blind faith and trust in these analytics without using your own brain.
I see
That's
your point.
How I feel.
I see your point. I think the point here, though, and I think Chris was asking a little more about projections.
Right.
Can Georgia make the playoff?
Right.
Georgia has taken what the schedule has given them and basically done everything possible. They won at Notre Dame. The only thing that Georgia could have done better with the schedule is won a little more convincingly at Notre Dame. Every other team, they have whooped. And I know these teams, I mean, Missouri's terrible. Vanderbilt's not very good. Tennessee is atrocious. I get that. But they've done what they're supposed to do. So I think you have to give them some credit for that. Now, going forward, and he asked, can Georgia win out? I think it's possible. According to FPI, chance of winning out is 6%, which a lot of people don't have a very high chance of winning out. The only one is Alabama because, again, they play nobody.
And that includes conference championship, too. When they say win out, there they're talking about win out to the playoff.
So, and I think we talked about this yesterday. Georgia's two big tests left, I would say, are at Auburn and at Georgia Tech. Both on the road. One's a rivalry game that Georgia Tech has had some success in lately. And then one is at Auburn, which is always a tough one for Georgia and Auburn. The rest of them, I feel pretty confident. I think Georgia's going to beat Florida. I think they're going to beat South Carolina. And they're going to beat Kentucky. Here's the thing. Georgia has not won the SEC East since 2012. When Clemson was making its run in 2015, Kwok, there were some people that were hesitant. And I think rightfully so, because they had yet to see Clemson reach that level. Reach that mountaintop under Dabo Swinney, win their division. They had won their division, but go undefeated and really contend for a playoff spot. That's some of the hesitancy with Georgia. I think if it was still Mark Richt, people might be a little more confident because you've seen Mark Richt compete for championships, even though it was a few moons ago for Mark Richt. You've seen him do it. We haven't seen Kirby Smart win the SEC East. There's some hesitancy there.
I have a hard time with Georgia because I know in my heart of hearts that they've been somewhat impressive, but I can't give them any credit because the fans think
you're really struggling to give Georgia credit.
The fans think they're going
to
win the AFC East right now. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Some of these Georgia fans on here.
Well, take the fans out of it.
Okay.
And just give. I think Georgia deserves some credit. I know Georgia fans, sometimes they come at people on Twitter, and that's what Georgia fans. I mean, they've been waiting for this. And I think Clemson fans have been the same way to a certain extent. When you're a sleeping giant and you've been waiting for this success and you finally get to taste some of it, you're going to be a little boastful. And that's what Georgia fans are right now.
Can you win out is the question. My answer is very simply, I don't know. And that's kind of the point. Like, just because you're under, and Vic says this on Twitter. He says, I thought you liked analytics, which I do. I just feel like every single thing that you use, you have to use in context. You have to understand what you're saying about whatever you're talking about. He says, also, if you're undefeated at this point in the season, you're a good team, period. See, I would disagree with that. Like, I think Georgia's a good team, but I don't think just because they've won seven games means they're a good team. We're literally at the halfway point of the season. Texas A&M's been undefeated at this point and lost the rest of them, right? I mean, A&M was in the top four last year, lost to Mississippi State, and basically tried to fire the coach in offseason, right?
Clemson's been undefeated at this point and finished poorly. 2011.
Correct. I'm just saying, I don't know if Georgia can win out because at this point in the season, they're 7-0, and I've not seen enough from them to tell me that they are a well-rounded, good football team. They've not had to win a game throwing the ball. They've not had to do it. Maybe they won't. If that's the case, then their schedule's terrible. Every championship team that's worth a sack of salt has to win games doing something that's not whatever they're best at. Defense, they have a lot of good athletes. Their run game is very good. When they play a team like Auburn, can they just line up and smash Auburn and have Jake Fromm go 11 for 14? I don't think so. I think they're going to have to open it up and throw the ball some. Are they going to be able to beat Georgia Tech like that? Georgia Tech's top five in the country, or they were before last week, and I think it probably is still the same, in yards allowed per dropback. That's a good secondary of Georgia Tech. Miami couldn't just drop back and chuck the ball and beat Georgia Tech. What about Florida? Are we convinced that they're going to come out after a bye week and beat Florida as bad as Florida looks? Are we convinced that they're going to beat Florida?
That's more about how bad Florida is.
Right. So
I take Jake Fromm over Phillip Hot Dogs pretty much any day.
The thing that irks me most about the way that Georgia fans are feeling about their team is that they feel like they have now done enough to anoint themselves. And I think with their schedule so far, like, we're going to find out in the next five games. And then we give credit. I just feel like the sample size is such, or the quality in the sample is such, that we got to wait a second on Georgia. We can't anoint them yet.
Well, and to be fair, I kind of feel that way about everybody, except for Bama, because Bama, again, has proven it to us year in and year out. They haven't played anybody, but we know Bama is going to be a contender. Everyone else who's undefeated, Penn State, I still don't feel good about because they, again, have literally not played anybody. Their one decent win, they had to eke out a win at Iowa, barely. Georgia's the same way, haven't really played anybody. They're undefeated. I'm not quite sure what they are. TCU, I mean, may have one of the better wins of these undefeated teams. Their win over Oklahoma State. Wisconsin has played nobody. So when you look at these undefeated teams, Miami's played nobody. There's still, I think almost every undefeated team in the country still has something to prove. So you could say that for every team.
Right. I 100% agree with that. 654 Roar is the number. We got to go to break. When we come back, we'll get to Sue. We'll get to Jamie. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Hour one continues Out of Bounds in just a moment.
It's the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week. Heard right here on WCCP FM, The Roar. Join William Qualkenbush every Friday night at 7 p.m. for a live broadcast of the Upstate's finest games. It's the Tri-County High School Football Game of the Week.
Head to Bojangles for five hearty meals, just $5 each. Bojangles, it's bow time.
When you've been in business almost 100 years, you've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Link Belt equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair, in many cases right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
Are you planning a new plant or manufacturing addition? How about a new commercial center? Or does your existing building roof leak more than it keeps out? Give us a call at Metal Building Supply, 295-0506, or come by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont and talk to George or Kevin about our solutions and the contractors we work with. We have the materials, systems, and contractors to make sure your business plans are successful. And remember, go Tigers, and stay tuned to The Roar for more information on your construction needs.
Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson on Highway 123 gets your vehicle clean and dry in about 3 minutes. Tiger Express Car Wash is an extreme, high-sensory car wash experience with a jungle theme that kids love. Tiger Express offers monthly packages and a 24-hour rain guarantee. Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson always has free vacuums and microfiber towels for your convenience. Visit Tiger Express Car Wash on the web or like us on Facebook. Tiger Express, next to the Pizza Hut in Clemson.
If your business relies on dependable transportation from your medium and heavy-duty fleet trucks, then Advanced Maintenance should be your next call. Advanced Maintenance is a preferred service provider for ARI, CDI, Element, Donlen, Penske, and many other fleet management companies. Their fleet management program streamlines all your fleet service needs so you don't have to. And they even do box truck and trailer repairs. Call the number that comes to you at 422-5787.
Don't just watch the games this weekend, make money on them. Get in the action at mybookie.ag and cash in on your winning picks. MyBookie is the industry-leading sportsbook that hooks you up for all your betting needs. NFL, college football, playoff baseball, and more. MyBookie has the best odds and action for players big and small. Want to test your luck in a casino? MyBookie puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They've even got beautiful live dealers dealing your cards in real time. And when you score that big win, MyBookie has you covered with the fastest online payouts in the business. Call MyBookie now at 844-900-2387 and mention promo code RADIO and they'll double your money on your first deposit. You can also sign up online right on your phone. Just visit MyBookie.ag today. That's MyBookie.ag or call 844-900-BETS. Play, win, get paid.
Athletes and active people wear out their joints as they age. For medically appropriate patients, the Surgery Center at Pelham offers a low-cost option for joint replacement to avoid a hospital stay and offers the capability to go home the same day.
I'm Dr. Frank Armacita. If your joints are worn out after years of golf, tennis, cycling, or weekend warrior activities, I believe our staff at the Surgery Center at Pelham can make a difference in your life.
Visit the Surgery Center at Pelham, online at newkneereplacement.com.
When you buy a new or pre-owned vehicle from Anderson Ford, you'll be taken care of long after you drive home. Their award-winning service department is open weekdays 7:30 to 6, Saturdays 8 to 5. Anderson Ford now has a state-of-the-art collision center providing the latest technology to repair your car, truck, or SUV. The Anderson Ford team is doing service and collision repair business differently. Anderson Ford, 3900 Clemson Boulevard, Anderson. Online at andersonfordsc.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. B-Y-T. And a loving care. And I'll take you there. Girl. Ooh. I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young.
Welcome back. Hour one continues. Just to be fair about Georgia, if I was ranking playoff teams right now, I think Georgia would be my number two.
They have to be right now.
They'd be number two.
Sure.
It would be Alabama, Georgia, TCU, Penn State to me.
I think that would be my three. Maybe TCU over Georgia, but I don't really see why. I mean, TCU has one good win, Oklahoma State, and then winning at K-State is a good win. But I guess you'd have to say, is winning at Notre Dame better than winning at home against Oklahoma State?
Let me ask you this. In terms of resume, and then we're getting to the phones. In terms of resume, does Penn State have a better resume than Wisconsin? I mean, we have dogged Wisconsin's schedule. Penn State's best win is what?
At Iowa.
Wisconsin's best win is at Nebraska. Is there
convincing.
Really that big of a difference?
Iowa's better than Nebraska.
I think we have talked about how bad Wisconsin's schedule is. I think Penn State's schedule is barely better than Wisconsin's so far. Just at this point, that's what they've done. And that's the point. Yes, tougher games are coming for some of these teams, but as of right now, Penn State's not a ride. They've not proven anything to me. Wisconsin's not proved anything to me. In fact, Georgia's proven more than either of those Big Ten teams, and that would be the argument to put TCU second, that TCU maybe has proved more than Georgia has so far. Wins against SMU. They dominate Arkansas on the road. They beat SMU. They won at Oklahoma State, beat West Virginia, won at Kansas State. That's a good first six.
I forgot they also beat West Virginia.
That's a good first six right
I don't
there.
See how you couldn't put TCU two.
I would put them two then. I'm putting them two over Georgia right now. Nothing wrong with that to me. Let's go to the phones down the Northern Communication phone line. Sue and Easley is up with us first in this segment. 654-ROAR, you can join them. Hey, Sue, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me in. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Everybody's just been so focused on the loss on Friday night. I just wanted to not skip over some of the positives that actually did come out of it. I was thinking about Coach Sweeney's visit to the locker room, to the Syracuse locker room after the loss, and how he specifically sought out their wide receiver there, Ishmael, and also their defensive line, and posed for pictures and talked to the guys and congratulated them. I think sometimes, you know, it's more important to teach and model grace and humility after a setback than it is to just rack up one more win. We got time to do that. But I mean, nobody from Clemson surprised by the way Coach Sweeney conducts himself. But I think other fan bases and other players sometimes are.
You know what? I think that's a great perspective to take, Sue. And you're right. Clemson, I think Dabo Sweeney understands that Clemson still is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I know Syracuse could win out, but they're not going to. Clemson controls its own destiny. If Clemson wins the rest of its games, Clemson will get in the playoff. It's not the end of the world. And I also think there was a flukish nature of the game, and as Syracuse played their tails off. And so for him to say, again, that's why I didn't have a problem with it, because I feel like he, as a competitor, recognized that Syracuse outcompeted his team. He knows how good his team is, and I think he understands how tough it is to beat his team. Sue, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think that's a fine perspective to take. By the way, Texter says maybe TCU should be number one. Hey, Bama's pretty good. Which Kelly, I know Kelly probably would be all about that. Let's go to Jamie, who's up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Jamie?
Well, good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Okay, good. As ironic that last caller, Sue, I kind of want to go off that. As I told a show earlier this morning, I have no problem with Dabo Sweeney going into the locker room and congratulating a team, you know, if that's what he wants to do. He's Dabo, and he's earned the right to pretty much do what he wants to. And let me back up. First of all, let's keep in mind that we have lost 3 football games in 2.5 years, and one of them is the national championship game that went down to the wire. So we are very blessed as a program and a fan base. However, there's 2 issues that I have with that game Friday night that have really just aggravated me, and I'm still aggravated over it. One of them was Tanner Muse's unsportsmanlike conduct, because after the touchdown, they got the ball back on like the 40-yard line, and that's what led to a field goal, and they won by a field goal. That's something that can be corrected, and that's something that does not have to happen. Okay? And that's number one. Now, as I said, I have no problem with Dabo Sweeney going into the locker room and being happy for his friend. However, don't come on WCCP's airways when you are addressing a disappointed Clemson fan base, a fan base that is in shock, a fan base that's upset. Don't come on the airways and say, oh, I'm happy for Dino in Syracuse. You know, there was a time and a place to do that, and that's fine that you are, but when you're addressing the Clemson fan base on a post-game interview, keep it to yourself. You know, but as I said, he's Dabo, and he's going to do what he wants to, and he's earned the right to do that. But it also leads me to wonder, I hope the team that we've seen the first 6 games and not the team that we saw against Syracuse shows up from here on out. So I'll take you guys' thoughts. And one last question, since tomorrow is basketball media day, get into this. What is a reasonable expectation for a Clemson Tiger basketball fan this year?
Jamie, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I have no idea how Jamie feels about Dabo. Is he entitled to do whatever he wants, or does he – I mean, because Jamie kind of lectured him right there.
Can I
right?
say something?
Yeah.
Jamie, we appreciate your call, but you gave us that exact same call yesterday, and you said the exact same thing this morning on the press box. I understand that you think you're right, and you're entitled to that, but You do not need to call every single show and say that.
Well, what does he mean? I mean,
what's his point? I don't know. I didn't love it either. I didn't love it either, but I respect the heck out of Dabo, and Dabo can do whatever he wants. Can do what he wants.
What doesn't make any sense is to say that he's earned the right to do what he wants and then tell him, don't you dare come on the air and say blah, 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 blah. Well, either he's earned the right to do what he wants.
No, he has.
Or he hadn't.
He has.
Like, period. If you want to have that, like, you can't do both of those.
And in the end,
you can't believe both those things are true.
The fact that we've had a lot of focus. I liked Sue's call. I think Sue made a great point about what Dabo did. And the fact that we've been focusing on this, it's Tuesday and we're still talking about it. Who cares? He shook Dino's hand. He said he was happy for him. That is not the main story here. You're burying the lead, people. If you want to talk about something, let's talk about the secondary. Let's talk about, is Kelly Bryant healthy? Let's talk about the running game. That's not important.
I'm upset that Dabo's such a non-competitive person that he would just go post selfies with the players in the locker room. I mean, bless his heart. The guy just doesn't know what it's like to win. Let's go to Ethan, who's up with us next. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, Quok. I called earlier in the summer about how Georgia is going to blow it. But I don't think they have so far in their schedule, I admit. It's not the best, but, you know, they haven't lost anybody. They didn't lose Syracuse or anything. They've done what they've had to do, and they've blown everybody out. And I think that's the difference between Kirby Smart and Mark Richt, because Mark Richt would have choked at Notre Dame for sure.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Brian Kelly's kind of a choker too, though, right? I mean, because remember, the storyline there was Brian Kelly losing another close game. It wasn't Kirby Smart pulls victory from the jaws of defeat. It was Brian Kelly loses his umpteenth consecutive game by a touchdown or less, and we're going down the same path they did last year. So maybe that's a little bit revisionist, but I can't argue what you're saying.
It just seems he has more. The players are so much more disciplined. Yet they had a 1,000 penalties in that game, but they seem like the lines are so much better, and they're less emotional too.
I get it, Ethan. They've been better than I thought. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
But go ahead. Add one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, Jake Fromm, he's done what he's had to do. I mean, would you have thrown the ball at Notre Dame 30 times?
Well, no, I would, especially not if I'm Georgia. No, I wouldn't have.
Well, yeah, and then against Missouri last week, we couldn't run the ball first quarter, and he threw for, 330 yards, something like that? Grant, Missouri's defense is terrible, but when we had to throw, we threw, and he did pretty good. They were wide open, but he still...
I understand you, Ethan. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I get all that stuff. I'm just saying, Jake Fromm, if Jake Fromm has to win a game, any Georgia fan feel like Jake Fromm, based on what you've seen, can win a game for you? If the running game's not good enough?
Georgia's going to have to win a game with Jake Fromm, right?
If that's the case, then they should put South Florida in the playoff. You can go through a whole season without having to throw the ball to win a game, then and you're not Georgia Tech or somebody.
I mean, they play in the same conference as this example. I mean, how many games did Jalen Hurts win with his arm last year?
That's a good point. Fair point.
I don't know if they're going to have to. I mean, so more power to you then if you're Georgia.
We got about 90 seconds. Jeff is up with us next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Quok.
What's going on?
I was just going to talk about, I think sometimes perceptions in college football are kind of like what we want to see. Like, I just heard Kelly, she rolled through all the undefeated team schedules and called basically every team a nobody. And, you know, and it's not, some schedules aren't the most impressive, but then before the last couple of weeks, we would have called Iowa State, Syracuse, Cal, Arizona State nobodies. It's not, I think sometimes people, like, for top 10 teams, they get everybody's best shot. So winning games is impressive, even if it is against teams that aren't great. There's not many teams out there that just go through a gauntlet of top 25 games every single week. Like, that doesn't happen. So there will be weaker teams on schedules. So, you know, that's saying that everybody's played nobody so far. And then, I mean, if a team's 4-3 and they pull an upset, they're no longer a nobody. I just think that, talk about schedules at this point in the season is a little bit frivolous, like a little bit of a frivolous conversation. And, you know, teams will prove it later in the year if they're not worthy or if they are. So that's just my take on it. And, you know, I don't know. I know people like to talk about it. But, you know, I just think it's kind of discussion fodder at this point in the season, really.
I understand, Jeff. We got to run. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I get both sides of that.